It's The Record with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman. And David, do you think you exercised willpower this Thanksgiving weekend?
Not really. That second helping of pie was definitely a mistake, but I tried to deal with my poor judgment by exercising.
I had a lot of butter and sugar as well. It's very hard to resist the impulse to overindulge this time of year, but resisting that impulse comes down to willpower, and there's some good news. Willpower is like a muscle. Either gets tired or builds up over time.
That's according to psychologist Roy Baumeister and science writer John Tierney. They're co-authors of the book Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength. Ross Reynolds spoke with them back in 2011, and Roy Baumeister talked about a famous study known as the Marshmallow Experiment.
Yeah, these were great studies done way back in the 1960s by Walter Mischel, who would give children, 4-year-old children, a choice. They say you can have a marshmallow or a cookie, whatever their favorite treat was. You can have one, but if you could wait 15 minutes till I come back, you can have two. And so he left the child alone with the tempting thing and looked at their strategies. Some people or some of the children would just give up right away and gobble it down. Others would resist for a while, and others could hold out and wait the full 15 minutes and earn the bigger treat. I think what's most remarkable about that is not just the strategies people use, or not also just as you said a moment ago, some people are better at it than others. But what was remarkable is when he did follow-ups and looked those people up 15, 20 years later.
As I understand it, this research was kind of set aside for a while. Then someone came up with the idea, well, what happened to these kids?
Yeah, well, it turns out this was done at a school on the Stanford University campus where Michelle was a professor, and he sent his own kids to that school, and he kept hearing about the other kids, and sometimes he'd go back and say, well, how did, so-and-so got in trouble, so and he'd go back and look up, how did this kid do in the experiment? And it seemed like the kids who had trouble resisting the temptation to gobble that marshmallow right away, they were the ones who were continually having trouble academically and behaviorally, whereas the others did well. And so he thought, maybe there's something that really is a core, lasting element of personality here. So he got together all his research assistants and waited when the kids were grown up and contacted them. And sure enough, the kids who were better at 4 years old were better. They were better academically. They went on to earn more money. They're also more popular. They were rated better by their teachers and their parents and so forth. They're just successful in many domains. And to put that in context, it's almost impossible to measure anything at age four and have it predict some psychological properties in adulthood. Freud said childhood leads to adulthood. And this is one of the great failures of Freudian psychology, is when people tried to measure things from childhood to adulthood, almost nothing lasts that way. But this is one of the few exceptions that really seems to be there.
We're talking about willpower. That's the name of the book by my two guests, psychologist Roy Baumeister, who you just heard from, and science writer John Tierney. And one of the most interesting parts of the book is, there are many kinds of willpower. Don't eat all the marshmallows is one of them. But you also talk about the impact of making decisions on willpower. We make decisions all day long about what to do, but as you point out, sometimes an accretion of these decisions can reduce our willpower. How does that work, John?
It's something that's also counterintuitive, because we associate willpower with resisting temptation, with exerting self-discipline. But Roy discovered in these experiments that simply the act of making decisions depletes that same thing, too. It's hard enough to resist a bowl of ice cream, but even simply deciding between chocolate and vanilla, that involves some mental energy, and it's the same mental energy. So that once you make a lot of decisions, it makes you more vulnerable to giving into temptations, to losing self-control. It also makes you make bad decisions, because making decisions involves this mental energy, and as your willpower goes down, as that mental energy declines, then you start looking for mental shortcuts, ways to avoid energy. And there are two very different ways you can go. Sometimes you just stop thinking through the decision at all and just do something impulsively, like go ahead and tweet that picture, why not?
Oops.
Or the other way is just you avoid the decision altogether. You just start basically deferring everything because it's just too tiring to make it. In the book, we talk about Jim Turner, the actor, who he tells a story about having this diabetic and his blood sugar went down. And we also in the book talk about this connection between glucose, and that he got off the beach and he could not decide whether to go to the bathroom or go get food. And he was paralyzed for 20 minutes. Just he couldn't make the simplest decision because he had so little glucose in the body, he had no willpower.
He could have gotten both of them done in the 20 minutes that he spent trying to decide between which one to do first.
And as you point out, the book includes a lot of anecdotes about willpower and how people exercise that are not exercised. That, and also kind of pretty entertaining summaries of some of the research that's gone into it. But I have to ask, a lot of the research involves college students put into decision-making situations and then demonstrating their willpower by things like holding their hand under cold water for as long as they possibly can. So how do we know that research derived from these kind of artificial situations really holds true in the real world, Roy?
Well, it does. In fact, there's just a large-scale study that was completed with citizens in one of the major German cities, which had some students and some non-students, and showing the same sorts of patterns. So it's definitely
so there's been some real-life examples of this, too?
In general, the things done with college students, the same kinds of effects. I mean, might be a little bit bigger or smaller in college students, but students are people, too, and the same principles apply. And there's very little where it would be, say, in the opposite direction or mm-hmm. completely different psychological principles.
And teenagers are people, too, although sometimes that's hard to appreciate. And I've read that teenagers' brains are not fully developed. Do they lack willpower because their brains are not fully developed, John?
I think teenagers have got these enormously strong impulses. Their hormones are going, and they have an adult's impulses with a child's ability to control it. What actually happens when you're overcome by impulses, you talk about that you just gave in to an impulse, and the impulse became so strong, that's how it feels to us. But what actually tends to happen is that your willpower goes down. The impulse may be the same, but your amount of willpower to resist it goes down. So toward the end of the day, you just can't resist that donut anymore. The donut's appeal hasn't really changed, but your willpower has gone down. There were some studies done with real customers buying cars, and they would test their decision fatigue. They would ask them to make all these decisions about, you know, which one of 56 different interior colors do you want? What kind of engine do you want? What kind of wheels? And they would find that according to how they structured that decision, that they got tired as they went through it. And after a while, they just stopped making decisions, and they go with whatever the default was.
This was fascinating. And they also found that the way they structured the questions could lead someone to buy the high-priced car options, too.
Exactly, because if you gave the high-priced option as an early one or a late one, and if you made it the default or the not the default, it would depend. Because at the start of the process, people would really think through and think, do I really want the high-priced thing or not? But by the time they'd made a bunch, they just gave up, take the default.
Yeah. We're talking about willpower with the authors of the book by the same name, John Tierney, who you just heard from, science writer. You've probably read him in the New York Times. And also with a psychologist, Roy Baumeister, who's done some pioneering work on this about how willpower kind of has a physical base. It's almost like a muscle. I want to get to glucose, but I also just want to get back to teenagers quickly. Roy, I don't know if you have kids yourself, but a lot of people at home might have perked up when I said teenagers and willpower and wondered, what can I do to give this kid a little bit more self-discipline? Any advice?
Well, the problem is, as John said, is that the teenagers, you know, suddenly there's a big leap in the strength of impulse. Power is like, self-control is like a muscle that gets stronger, and so the child has grown up to cope with a child's needs and problems and impulses, and then suddenly you have the adults much more stronger impulses, so it takes a little time for the willpower to be exercised to catch up. But even just keeping in mind that this is the priority, you need to figure out ways to exercise self-control, that you want to make your child strong. And there's a long chapter in the book about many of the things that people do. You work on setting goals and going, and you know, just be attentive to when your child, you know, don't just punish the child when it's wrong. Look for when the child shows good self-control. You know, something upsetting happens and the child doesn't throw a tantrum. This is the sort of thing you want to encourage. Well, so many people give in when the child throws a tantrum and then yell, and that's precisely the wrong thing to do. You shouldn't, even if you were about to give the child what it wanted, if it misbehaves or tantrum or something like that, that's when you have to say, well, no, now you can't have it. You have to show good self-control.
And the chapter, I think, is called Self-Esteem versus Willpower, and a lot of parents want to make sure their kids have strong self-esteem. Does this kind of run in opposition to encouraging them to have strong willpower, John?
Well, that was one of the great mistakes we made in the last 20 years, was this idea that self-esteem would lead to success in life. And it seemed logical because people who had high self-esteem were, in fact, successful. But and Roy was one of the researchers who led that early research, but then he discovered that, in fact, that it goes the other way, that when you're successful, that gives you self-esteem. It doesn't work the other way, and that self-control is so much more important than self-esteem. And what's amazing about the correlations is that self-control predicts success in just about every kind of in your your personal life and school and work and in getting along with people and divorce and crime. And it actually, self-control predicts academic performance even better than IQ does, which is, it's amazing that it's that important and it carries over in so many areas.
And you note that people, when they're asked about their personal strengths, they almost never say willpower is a personal strength of mine. But when asked about their weaknesses, they always say a lack of willpower is a problem for me. So why is that?
Well, people, I think, realize that there are more temptations now than ever, and they feel that they don't have enough willpower for it. And really, no one has enough willpower to be exposed to temptations all day long and resist them. And we are, from the moment you sit down at a desk in an office, you can always just escape work by clicking on your phone, by clicking, you know, by surfing the web, by going to Facebook. So you're just using willpower all day long to resist those temptations. And it used to be when you just went to a job at a factory or you were working in a farm field, you didn't have all these choices. And so we have more choices than ever today. And that's what makes it difficult. I mean, the good news is in the book we try to talk about that we also have a lot more strategies today, partly thanks to Roy's work and also these new digital tools we can use to outsource some of the self-control. So we can use...
Keep the internet shut down, for example, to keep us from being distracted.
Exactly.
But surely, Roy, there are people who can multitask and can do all these things at once and it doesn't influence their decision making, right?
Well, actually, as far as I know, in the research on multitasking, you really mostly do one thing at a time, and you have a limited amount of attention and a limited amount of willpower. Yes, some people will be better at sharing and jumping back and forth than others, but switching back and forth between different tasks, that takes willpower, too. All these things draw on the same resource, even, you know, putting off going to the bathroom, resisting temptation, making yourself laugh at your boss's stupid joke that wasn't funny. All these things all day long, each takes a little bit away from it, as does making decisions. You know, do you want it on whole wheat or on rye? Everything saps your willpower all day. And so, you know, we see these political scandals year after year where decision makers end up doing ridiculous things. And they say, how could how could he be so stupid and ruin his career for such a silly thing? But after making the decisions, all it takes is a momentary lapse in self-control. And you do something that you can have terrible repercussions.
Well, plus some of the things that we have a difficulty controlling are pretty powerful.
Yes, well, that's true. And even if they're not powerful, that they keep coming back or keep getting you, sooner or later, they'll catch you in a moment of weakness. The great thing about self-control, though, is it really can be improved. It is one way that you, even in adulthood, you can build up and become a stronger and better person.
Well, Roy, since you've been researching this, and John, since you've written the book with him, what have you been able to utilize in your life about your knowledge of self-control? Anything that you've been able to do yourself, Roy?
Well, I think I've learned some things. I'm trying to improve my exercising and things like that regularly. And I know, you know, one of the easiest things to boost it is to keep track, write down every day whether you exercised or not, because people are very good at fooling themselves. And so they say, oh, yeah, I exercise a lot and so on. But if you have it on the calendar day after day, did you do that?
And, sure, and the blank page will be an indictment against your sloth.
yes.
Or you can just get up early and go do it. Roy Baumeister is a psychologist. John Tierney's a science writer. The two guys spoke with Ross Reynolds about their book, Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength. That's an archived interview. You can find the link at our website, kuow.org.